allowing us to stay with him for the weekend, so we're real thankful for that. I know I said this about an hour ago, but I also just again want to thank all of you for allowing us to come here, and me and Sean to come here and preach the word to you, and for allowing us to come out Saturday and be there with all of you guys. We had a lot of fun. Even got a little bit of a sunburn, so. But this morning, what I want to talk to you guys about is the one body. Just last week, I looked up how many denominations there are, and it came up with over 40,000 different denominations. So that's 40,000 different teachings out there. 40,000 false teachings that have divided themselves from God. You know, they may say that they have God, but it does not reflect in what they do. And it's important for us as Christians to know about the one body, so that way we can stay away from all those other bodies that claim they're the one. And that's why it's so important that we study our Bibles and go through the Word of God and look at the Scriptures as we're going through these lessons, so that way we can confirm the Word and know that what we're doing is, in fact, correct. Another common belief is that it doesn't matter what you believe in, it doesn't matter what you do, that we're all going to heaven. It doesn't matter what body you belong to, that we're all good. We can all just get along, we don't have to fight each other. And with a belief like that, it's no wonder that many people out in the world fall to these lies. But as we see in the Bible, there's only one body. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Again, that was Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. It says, there is one body. The Word of God, the Bible, says that there is only one body. So throughout this lesson, I want to go over what exactly that one body is. Well, first off, the body is the church. You look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Again, that's Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. So he is the head of the body, the church. So we see here that the body and the church, they're the same thing. We also see this in verse 24. Verse 24 says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and I fill up what is lacking of Christ's afflictions in my flesh on behalf of his body, which is the church. So the body is the church. We also see this going back to Ephesians. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, 22 through 23. It says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. So we have three different verses that show that the church and this one body are the same thing. And since there's only one body, that means there's only one church. Now, this doesn't mean that the congregation here is the only congregation that's faithful and that is going to heaven. What that means is that the Church of Christ here, the Church of Christ in St. Robert, Missouri, where I go, the Church of Christ in Hawaii, where my uncle preaches, any faithful Church of Christ is the church. And that means there's only one church. Because again, going back to all those denominations, they're not a part of the one body. They're not a part of that one church. They're their own separate churches. So there's one church. And that one church or one body has a head to it. And that head is Christ. If you look back in Colossians 1 and verse 18. Back in Colossians 1:18, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." So the he there is Christ. Christ is the head of the body. And we saw that back in Ephesians 1:22-23 as well. We also see it in Ephesians 4:15. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ." So we see that Christ is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. All authority belongs to him. God the Father had delegated all the authority over the church unto Christ. Now Christ has all of that authority. So, since Christ has all authority, we as the body should be subject to that authority. In fact, we can see this in Ephesians 5:23-24. Again, this Ephesians chapter 5:23-24. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ," so the church is subject to Christ. We cannot go beyond what is written. We cannot take away from the word. We have to follow the word to the letter. We don't have the authority to make up our own rules, to have our own head, because Christ has all authority. And since there's only one body, that means there's only one head. And since Christ has already filled that position, that means we can't have another head of the body. One example I'd like to use is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, they have the Pope. Whatever the Pope says goes. He can change all the rules. He can pretty much do whatever he wants with the Catholic Church because he is the head of the Catholic Church. But as we saw, we don't have that kind of authority because Christ is the head, and we have to be subject to that head. Now, if you remember, I talked about in Bible class how the body is made up of many different members, and that's my next point. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12:12-14, again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12:12-14. It says, "For also the body is not one member, but many." So the body is made up of many different members. We also see this in Romans 12. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many members are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." I'm sorry. We're actually going to go back to 1 Corinthians. You might want to mark that, and we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 14. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. I didn't read it all the way through. It says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For also by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For also the body is not one member, but many." So now that we've read the complete passage there, I want to focus on verse 13. It says, "For also by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free." So again, this shows us that baptism is necessary to be a part of the one body, so it's necessary for salvation. And we also see that whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, so it doesn't matter about our past, it doesn't matter how we look or what we've done, we can all join the one body. So now we will go to Romans 12, 4 through 5. Romans 12, 4 through 5, it says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." So this verse here shows that even though we are all members of the one body, we all have different roles. We all have different functions in that one body. The role could be up here at the pulpit preaching, or coming up here and leading song, or leading the Lord's table, or preparing the Lord's table before service starts. And there's always something that someone can do. Even the people who get stuck at home, they can't leave home and they really can't get out or really do anything. Sometimes they'll start to develop this idea that there's nothing that they can do for the church. But there is something that they can do for the church. They can pray. That's something we all can do, is pray. You know, there was actually a member at the congregation where I'm at in St. Robert. Her name was Sister Liza. She's passed away now, but before she passed away, her health was really deteriorating, and she came to the point where she couldn't really hear anything, and she was blind, and she just could not get out. So she asked Randy Duvall, my grandfather, "What can I do for the church?" And he told her that she could pray. One thing that they did a lot back then was door knocking. They would go around from door to door and knock on them and leave flyers and talk to the people about the Church of Christ. And every time we went out door knocking, my grandfather would call Sister Liza and tell her, "Hey, we're headed out. Would you start praying for us?" And from the time we started door knocking to the time we stopped door knocking, Sister Liza would pray. So there is always a role that we can fill in the church. And another verse I want to take you to is Ephesians 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. Again, it's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. It says, because we are members of his body. So we, as long as we are faithful to the Lord, as long as we are faithful to the head and follow those commands, then we are a part of that body. And as the body, we should keep away from division. And in fact, this is a command that we see in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25. It says, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We also see this in chapter 1, same book, but chapter 1 and verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10 says, now I exhort you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. So we should stay away from these divisions. Because if someone is divided from the one body, And we as Christians should strive to keep that unity. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we as Christians should be diligent to keep that unity, to keep the church from being divided. In fact, unity was the prayer of Jesus himself. We see this in John 17, 20 through 21. Again, that's John chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. It says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me, through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So we see here that unity was the prayer of Jesus. We also saw that unity was a command in 1 Corinthians 12, 25, and chapter 1, verse 10. So it's a command, it's the prayer of Jesus. So we as Christians should strive to keep the church from dividing, because those divisions are no longer a part of the one body. And if you look over in Ephesians 5 and verse 23, again, that's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. So Christ is the Savior of the body, the one body. If we want that salvation, if we want to go to heaven, then we have to be a part of that one body. We cannot be divided from that one body, because if we are, then the only thing that awaits us is hell. So it's important that we as Christians not only prevent ourselves from being divided of the body, but also our fellow brothers and sisters from being divided from that one body. Now, if you are here today and you have not yet obeyed the gospel and you want to be a part of that body, you want that salvation, there's a plan that you have to follow. That first step of that plan is to hear the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You all have heard the word of Christ today, and with that, faith comes. You have to believe. The next step is belief. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then once we believe, we have to turn away from worldly things. We have to go to God. We have to repent. We have to strive to live a godly life. Luke 13:3 says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And once we've done that, we have to confess that Jesus is Lord. You look in Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Then we have to be baptized. We have to be fully immersed in that watery grave for the remission of our sins, as we see in Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then once you've done that, you have to stay faithful to the Lord. You have to continue to follow the word of God, so that way you can keep that unity, so that way you can avoid being divided from the body. Matthew 10:22 says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So as Christians, we're going to go through some troublesome times. We're going to be persecuted. Things are going to happen. But we have to stick through it. We have to keep that unity so that when that day comes, we can be saved. We can have that salvation. So if you are subject to the plan of salvation, or if you are here today and you need prayers from the congregation, I encourage you to please come forward as we stand and sing.